word for you today. Everybody say it. Say, the future's so bright. I gotta wear shades. Do y'all believe that? I believe that. I think the future is so bright. If you got shades in your pocketbook or on your coat there, you ought to put them on right now. Amen. I might just preach the whole service with my sunglasses on. Because it's a fact that God's best belongs to you. It is a fact that His blessed, His purposes, all that He's created, it belongs to you. My dad owns the cattle on a bazillion hills. I know that's Pastor James's translation of that verse, but he does. He owns it all, and he's turned around and given it to each of us. But you know, it's all how you look at things. Amen. You know, when all this stuff hit, I'm sure you had some different ideas about it, but far as the snow and the ice. And I know when I was getting the cars broke free and getting them started, man, I had to really think through what I was doing so I didn't break a window or something. Because it was tough. But I tell you what, I knew that tomorrow's coming, it's going to be even a better day. Amen. This week going to get up to in the 50s. Oh, it's going to rain. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Amen. But let's pray. Amen. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears. And I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, ministering to us right where we are. We just give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, your word is so good to us. It tells us things. It reveals things to us. Lord, your Holy Ghost is there who shows us things to come, who reveals deeper truths, Lord, as we partake of that word. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives, in this church, and in each one of us through your word. And we just give you praise and glory right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. I really do. I think I'll just preach like this. Amen. Hallelujah. I can see just as good. Amen. I have the talking paper. Amen. I remember a famous radio talk show host would get up on his microphone. I have the talking paper. I miss him. Man, what an optimist. What a great guy. Amen. I want to read this to you because it excites me and it'll excite you. If you watched the service last Sunday online, I laughed all day Saturday. And some of you I told about it. But Friday, I needed to go to the doctor, my doctor in Somerville. And I went and saw Miss Libby. She's a sweet lady. Good, good, good common sense doctor. And I went in, sat down with her. She had no idea that I'd went to Mexico and done all the things that I'd done. But she knew I looked different. She said, you've lost some weight. You look good. And I said, yes, ma'am. And as it went on, I thought I felt comfortable telling her what I did. So I told her. And she just sat back. She goes, I am so excited about this. And she began to ask me a dozen questions. And so I asked her, I said, I want you to do my AC1. I told her what it was when I was in Mexico. And which was good because the last time I was in her office, it was 8.5. 8.5 is really high. And when I went to Mexico, I got it down to 6.5. But Libby drew blood. And the next day, I didn't think I'd get the results that fast because of all the snow and everything. But I got the report back. Can I read you the report? Because remember, I told you what I was believing for? All right, it says, for someone without known diabetes, as if I didn't have it. For someone without known diabetes, a hemoglobin of AC1 value between 5.7 and 6.4 is consistent with pre-diabetes and should be confirmed with a follow-up test. For someone with known diabetes, a value of 7 or higher indicates that their diabetes is, you know, not well controlled. And reading on down through here, it says AC1 targets should be individualized based on the duration, your age, the common conditions, so forth and so on. But here's the thing. Never since I got diagnosed have I ever had a 5.7. Ever. And that is huge. Do you understand how huge that is for me? That is absolutely huge. I am believing, you know, and I told some of you, on my phone, my meter keeps track automatically through Bluetooth, but I've been running at 89% now in range all the time, 89%. By the time I go to Mexico, I want to be in the 90% range, if not higher. Y'all believe that for me? All right, that's a good report. Amen. Amen. And I told y'all, I said, diabetes is going to be out of my system. Going to be out. This report really jazzed me. I laughed about it all day Saturday. So when we did the service on Sunday, I couldn't get it excited the way I wanted to get excited about it. But I preached what I preached on last Sunday because, hey, that's what worked for me. That message last Sunday is what I do all the time. And you go back and watch it, listen to it, take notes. Our first Monday night Bible study, I'm going to do it again, but we're going to do a longer version of that message and it'll be a part of the series. But I'm telling you what, how many of you know and believe Jesus is the healer? Amen. Say that with me. Say, my Jesus is my healer. All right, now say this. Say, my future is so bright. I got to wear shades. All right, amen. Hallelujah. Let's do this today. Amen. You know, the Bible says here, and Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord." How many of you know God's thinking about you? He's thinking about you. That ought to get you excited. Amen. My God's always thinking about me. Always. He says here, I have thoughts and plans for you. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace. You go reading this verse in other translations, it talks about blessings, increase, talks about good things coming to pass. But God's plan for you and me, He wants you to be blessed, have peace in your life. God's plan is not to beat you like a government mule. God's plan is not to keep you underfoot and hurt you. We don't serve that kind of a God. Can you say amen? We do not serve that kind of a God. Hallelujah. He says here in this verse, I want to give you hope in your final outcome. I like how that says that because He wants you to have hope for all the days of your life. Everybody say, all my days. All my days. Amen. I think God's blessings should flow in your life every day. Amen. You know, it's all about what you're going to focus on. What are you going to focus on? First thing when you get up, what is it you're focusing on? What's important to you? Amen. I tell you what, we were tired of cooking food. We got in the car and went out to eat. Amen. We were at Ron and Renee like to go on Sundays. We were at Jay Alexander's and we went in. Ain't nobody in there. Best quiet I ever had in that restaurant. It was peaceful. I think there was like two other couples or maybe a family of six and then another couple. And you know what? We had a good time. We ordered a salad. I like their salads there. And like the chicken that goes on it. And we just ate and had a good time. I think we went out to eat three or four times this week. Three times. And went to the grocery store several times. Amen. How many of you know? Hey, in Oakland, you couldn't find milk. You know, but you know, we went out and went milk searching. We even took milk and food to Thomas up in Somerville. Not milk, but we took groceries to them. They couldn't get out. Their car was frozen in the ground. But you know, God's plan for you is blessings. Blessings. You know, I felt, you know how I am about servers and stuff. We made sure our server was blessed because they weren't going to get that many customers that day because nobody was going. Amen. We had there in Oakland, you know, they have the restaurant called Olympic Steakhouse. They have a couple of those around here, one in Arlington that's really nice. We've got one in Oakland. I think there's one in Millington. And there are some other ones. It's a Greek restaurant, but great food. And we had a server there, you know, and we made sure that she was blessed. Amen. Was her name Brittany? Mallory? We just wanted to just to take care of them. But you know, one of the things, when I had the same waitress twice. The first time I saw her, I said, I want you to know God's got your future. You're blessed. And she didn't forget that, because when we walked back in and sat down, she made sure she was our waitress again. Amen. But the thing is, folks, you ought to be excited about the things of God, because what? It's like risky business here. Your future's bright. Got to wear shades. Amen. It's like, say it again. Say, my future is bright. It is so bright and so cool. I got to wear shades. Amen. It is. Amen. Your future is so bright and so cool that you got to wear shades, just like Spock. Amen. Amen. It's more than logic, more than anything else. It's called the Word of God. You're blessed of the Lord. Say that. Say, I am blessed of the Lord. Hey, the Old Testament says I'm blessed going in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in everything that I set my hands to, even my coffee cup. Amen. I am blessed of the Lord. Say it again. Say, I am blessed. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who do not live with purpose, who do not live with hope. You, as a believer, have purpose and you have hope. Because, folks, you've got the Word of God. You haven't learned it all yet. You have not, I'll tell you this right now, by unction of the Holy Ghost, you haven't even scratched the surface of how much knowledge you can gain, how much power you can walk in, how much healing anointing you actually have until you really begin to dig deep. Amen. You have to dig in. You got to turn off the world and turn on the Word. Amen. Because your future's bright. It's so bright, man, you got to wear shades. You know, how many of you have stayed up later than you normally do because you hadn't been able to get out? Some of you raising your hand. How many of you have watched your TV more than you usually have? There you go. Thanks for your honesty. Do you know at 1 o'clock in the morning on the MeTV network, do you know what commercials they play? Melissa's going no because she went to bed at 12. Do you know what commercials they play? Call me, the Psychic Network. 1-800, I will read your mail. And you know, and they have the Psychic Network. They have all these things where they can tell you about the world that is tomorrow. They want to tell you everything you need to know. And we live in a world that's hungry for that kind of junk. They're hungry for it because they're not in their Bible. They're more in tune to the news than they are their Bible. Case in point, everybody said when COVID hit, when you got your vaccination card, what did a lot of people begin to preach about and say it was? Huh? The mark of the beast. That was the biggest crock I'd ever heard in my life. I sat and laughed. Joe Morris and I got on the phone and laughed and laughed and laughed. Because rumors go around, people will say the strangest things and the gullible will believe it over the Word of God. If you read your Bible, you won't be here for the mark. Get over it. You're supposed to occupy till He comes. You're supposed to be busy. Why is that? Because your future's so bright, you've got to wear shades, baby. Amen. Your future is so bright. You know, we grew up, and y'all have heard me say this before, but Matthew and I grew up in a beauty shop. I'm talking about, you know, palmolive soap in the blue bowls where the ladies are soaking their fingers in the bowls, getting their manicure done. I would be the one, as a little kid, I'd get the hot water and put a couple drops of the palmolive soap. My grandmother used that. They used that, I guess, to moisturize the fingers or whatever for what they were about to do with the cuticles. And all, anybody remember that day? Am I that old? All right. And, you know, all the stuff. If they picked out a color on the color chart, I went and got the little bottles of fingernail polish out of the storeroom in the back of the shop. The ladies under the hair dryers, oh, and they're getting their hair done. They'd call my name after I'd come home from kindergarten. I'd come up to the beauty shop, and I'd sweep hair. off from the beautician station. And when I would sweep all that up, you know, the little old ladies under the hair dryers would call my name. James, come here. And I'd go over and they would give me 2 quarters. Baby, that quarter's for you. Would you go get me a Coke with the other quarter? Of course, in the South, they say, would you go get me a Coca-Cola? Would you go to the cracker machine and get me a cracker? Peanut butter cracker, cheese cracker. Granny had the Lance cracker machine there with Lance peanuts and Toasties. You can still get those at Walmart in a box. And I went back there and I would take care of them and all that. And they just take care of me. I think 1 week I made $25 in quarters. Them little old ladies love on you real good when you're cute. Wore my sunglasses one day because I thought I was cool taking care of all the little old ladies underneath the hair dryers. Of course, the beauty shop changed through the years. It went from being a very large beauty shop with 8 different stations in it, 8 different hairdressers. I think when it was all said and done, when Granny retired, it was just her and my mom working 2 stations. And, you know, we all had chance to answer the phone. I still remember the phone number for the Atkins Beauty Shop. I still remember answering the phone. But one of the things that Granny always did, if I'd go stay at her house on the weekend and we'd go to church together, one of the things she liked to do was go to Kroger, which was near the beauty shop. And when she would go to Kroger, now she had magazines coming to the beauty shop all the time, all different types of hairdresser magazines, Cosmopolitan, all that stuff back then. And but one of the things that she would go buy at the checkout lines was the National Enquirer. Oh, yeah. National Enquirer, what's the other ones that are out? I can't remember it now. There were several different tabloid papers, okay? And she would buy that stuff. And I remember one of them had a picture on it, I'll never forget this, of John Kennedy in a wheelchair, an older Marilyn Monroe taking care of him and feeding him, and Elvis standing beside him, and James Dean next to him. And the headline read, "They're all on a deserted island being taken care of by the government." People believe that stuff. He's dead. If you watch the newsreels, there's no doubt of that. But listen, we believe anything, but yet we doubt the Word of God. What does that say about us as a people? We'll doubt God's Word. We'll call a psychic, or we'll read our horoscope before we read the Billy Graham column in the newspaper. National Enquirer tabloids at the grocery lines. Have you read some of that stuff? Standing there checking your groceries out, and there it is, different headlines. I can't even begin to talk about some of them. They're so funny. But you know what? Listen, as bizarre as things are in this world right now, as flamboyant of lifestyles that people tend to live, all the headlines strike the same chord over and over and over because people are hungry for the future. They're hungry to know what's next. But I don't know about you, for all of us here this morning, your future's so bright, you got to wear shades, man. Because God's Word says you're blessed going in, you're blessed going out. His Word says that surely goodness and mercy follows you how much of your life? All the days of your life. But yet you're going to believe something that somebody dreamed up, that somebody can't really prove. I had a student. I taught for Brother Norville for several different weeks at different times years ago. And one of the students sent me an email the other day and said, "Hey, Pastor James, you've been around a long time. I've always loved and respected you." And he asked me a bunch of questions. So I went and got my phone, and I kind of made a little video and showed him some things. And I said, "You know, if you read your third grade science book, it tells you all of this about that, and you can understand all this instead of believing somebody who's been smoking paint chips." People are gullible. And I'll be honest with you, their gullible has drifted off into seed and ignorance. You can't be that way if you're going to stay stable in this world. Where is the ultimate stability lie? In the Word of God. Amen. You know, your future is brighter than you're giving God credit for. We serve a good God who showed you in His Scriptures how you can walk in His blessings, who shows you in His Scriptures how you can receive and maintain your healing, who shows you in His Scriptures how you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and walk in divine power. But yet you'll believe things that don't even line up with Scripture. We have to believe the Word first. Everybody say the Word first. Amen. You got to. I'm telling you, it was funny, all those little old ladies under those hair dryers would tell me, "James, go bring me the National Enquirer." And they would read that as if it was the Bible and then throw their pastor under the bus. I remember sitting there listening to one lady go off about her Presbyterian pastor. Made all sorts of comments. And growing up, you know, you realize growing up, well, they were just gossiping and being busybodies. But you know what? It was funny what they would believe over the Word of God looking back, because they didn't know the Word. I'm telling you right now all this because you know the Word. And you know, James says in the book of James, "He who knows to do good and does it not, to him it's what? Sin." You should know better. Your future is bright. It's so bright you got to what? Say it with me. My future is bright. Come on, say it out loud. My future is bright. I got to wear shades. Amen. There's actually a song that goes that way. My future's so bright, I got to wear shades. Amen. Your future's bright. Amen. People really want to know the future. You know why people are so into horror movies? Because they want to know supernatural things. Deep down, they believe it. And instead of getting into the one who is the supernatural, they want to believe the counterfeit over the supernatural one. Amen. They love having everything scared right out of them. They'll pay money to go into a horror, a haunted house, for something to reach out and grab them and pull them into another room before they'll believe the Word. That's how society has been twisted and turned. When everything that you ever needed to know about your future and about the goodness of God, you are holding it in your hand if you got your Bible. Amen. If it's on your iPad, like I got two things going right here, right, three things if I count my phone, three different references here. You know, this is the Word of truth. And Jesus told us, if you know the truth will what? Set you free every time. Amen. Let me ask you this. I'm just curious. How many of you, for Christmas one year, your parents bought you a Ouija board game from Milton Bradley? Anybody? Mine did. Of course, my mom was the one, too, that said owls were of the devil and burned every owl in the house. She'd believe anything. Say, "Pastor, you're making fun of this." No, I'm not. Making fun of the people that believe it. But I remember getting that Ouija board. I remember getting Barnabas Collins' Dark Shadows. Y'all remember that soap opera? They had a game from Milton Bradley. I wonder about Milton Bradley, man. Man. You know, in the game you went around, I forget how it worked exactly, but I remember you had to collect certain things so you could get bones to put his bones back together in a casket. That's kind of cool with glasses on. You know, you had to put him all together. And you got people who play around with tarot cards and astrology. Dream weaver. What do they call the big round thing the Indians believe? Dream catcher. It's amazing what people will fall for. But you got to realize the Bible has always been the ultimate guidebook to predicting your future. Proverbs 29, verse 18. What does it say? Well, that's a cool one too right there, isn't it? I mean, you ought to paint your hair pink, come to church that way. That'd just be cool. You know, Chris, you'd look good that way, right? Amen. The word predict. Let me just read you this verse, though. Proverbs 29, 18. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Everybody say, I love the word. Do you really? Say it again. I love the word. You got to ask yourself, do you? Do you know more about the word than you know about President Trump? Hello? Do you know more about the word than you know about the Democrats? Hello? Because the word is eternal. Some of these folks, they're not. Their eternity is sealed somewhere else. Yours is sealed in heaven. The word of God is the truth, and it's the truth that sets you free. Now, I'm not preaching to anybody that doesn't believe any of this. I know y'all believe me. You're with me on it. I get it. But I tell you what, you ought to know more about the Word of God than you know about anything else. Because that is what sustains you, and that's what makes your future so bright that you got to wear shades. Amen. It's His Word that changes things. See, the world's methods are warped, but God's Word is perfect. Amen. The word predict. The word predict means to foretell. It means to tell the future or future event. It means to forecast. It also means, the word forecast, when you break it down, it means to prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. Amen. The word predict means to prophesy. A lot of weather people predict the weather, or they prophesy the weather. I think they got it right this time, didn't they? Feel bad for them getting exactly right for Mississippi. Amen. Chase, our buddy Chase, he lives with a group of seven guys that were former addicts, alcoholics and stuff. And they've been without power the whole time. He's cooking on a Coleman stove outside on his deck. They're all camping, living in sleeping bags, and they got a kerosene heater in the living room, and they're all sleeping around it. We offered for them to come up and bunk here at the church if they wanted to, or come out to our house just to have showers. And he said, no, we're enjoying this. We're having a good time. And it's really helping everybody. So I was excited for him for that. You know, you do what you got to do. But, you know, the weather people, man, they predict or they prophesy. They rely on certain models and things, if you've listened to them at all. But they will predict and foretell future events as they relate to weather. Or as they, in watching any kind of news program, they will predict what they think's going to happen. But really, they don't know. They're not sure. They got facts and figures to kind of make them go that way. Or get close to being correct. But you got to understand, as a believer, the word predict also means this: to tell what one believes before it comes to pass. As a believer, the word predict should mean to you and to me to tell what you believe before it comes to pass. Now, the more you think about that definition that I'm giving you here, that kind of sounds like faith, doesn't it? It sure does. Hebrews 11, 1, I don't have it on the screen, but now faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. Go on, finish it. The evidence of things not seen. Amen. Each one of you have been given the what kind of faith? measure of faith. Every one of you have a measure of faith. It's up to you to develop that faith and cause it to grow and expand in your life. I remember hearing Brother Copeland talk about some people don't have enough faith to create a BB. That's a good point. Because they believe everything else before they believe God about making a BB. Listen. In that verse in Proverbs, the word vision, without a vision, the people what? Perish. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's not the one. Where are we at? No, anyway, I'll go back. Where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. But happy is the one who keeps the law. What is the law? Well, the law is the word of God. Amen. Without a vision for God's word, it's hard to have a vision for the future that's not based in the flesh. Without a vision, you can't see past where you are. What's the old saying that we grew up hearing and still spoken today in movies and comedies, sitcoms? You know, you can't see the forest for the trees. People focus on all sorts of stuff instead of focusing on the Word of God. They'll focus on a trouble more and believe it more than they will the Word. And we can't do that because that doesn't build you up. That doesn't help you expand on the inside the future that God has for you. He wants you to see things through the eyes of faith. He wants you to see the world that is to be through your eyes of faith because you're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. We're called to fulfill a destiny, and we need to act on what God's placed within us. Amen. I've said this at the beginning of the year. How do you see your future? How do you see your future? What kind of goals are you setting? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now, 10 years from now? But here's the thing, church. A lot of things have a future built into them. A seed has within itself the power to predict its future. A watermelon seed does not become a cantaloupe. That'd be one weird-looking watermelon. A tomato plant doesn't grow up into an apple tree, does it? Nope. A cucumber plant doesn't grow bananas. Nope. It will become exactly what is contained on the inside of it. Tomato plants, that seeds produce in other tomato plants. The seed within contains the blueprints that holds its very future. And I want to go this far with this for you. God has placed within your DNA the blueprints for your tomorrow. There is nothing you cannot accomplish. There is nothing that you cannot do if you'll take the time and put the word to work in your life and let God speak and move through you. Amen. You know, a lot of people think a great deal too much. Of that I'm certain. We watched Mary Poppins the last couple of evenings. We've watched the first Mary Poppins with Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke. And then we watched the second one with Emily Blunt. And I got to, as the show would go on, there was a couple of things that was said by Mary Poppins that just kind of clicked. And then we watched Saving Mr. Banks. If you've never seen Saving Mr. Banks, go get you 4 or 5 boxes of tissue and watch it. And then you'll want to re-watch Mary Poppins all over again because you realize what it's really all about. And but one of the things she said was some people think a great deal too much. Of that I'm certain. But she said this too. She said everything is possible, even the impossible. Everything is possible, even the impossible. Folks, I'm telling you right now, the Word of God says all things are possible, only what? Believe. Only believe. Amen. Bible talks in Ephesians, you know, about how by the power that works within you, you can make change. Because you have that power. The power of the Word on the inside of you. Amen. The Bible teaches us that a seed produces after its own kind. The future of the seed, what lies within it, has the power and the substance of things hoped for. The power and the substance and the evidence of things not yet seen. That's what we read in Hebrews 1. How many of you plant tomatoes? I know Miss Linda Haynes, she has lots of tomato plants. Betsy back here, they're talking about plant tomato plants. I love fresh homegrown tomatoes. Do you like that? I like those great big tomatoes. You can cut them that thick, put them on some bread with a big old slice of cheese. Oh, that's so good. A little bit of mayonnaise, that's so good. Melissa's rolling her eyes at me going, "Bleh." I grew up eating a tomato like it was an apple. I love it. There's nothing like it. But within that tomato is the seed for the future of that plant to come. Do you realize God placed within you the seed of faith that can cause your future to blossom and be so bright that you got to wear what? Shades. Your future is so bright, you have got to wear shades because God has great things in store for you. Reinhard Bonnke made the statement, "I have vowed to God that I didn't want to be an anointed couch potato." I have vowed to God that I do not want to be a couch potato. Listen, if the Word of God is not alive on the inside of you, that's your own choice in your own doings. If your plants continually die when you plant them, are you doing what needs to be done to keep them alive? I think Ron and Renee have all sorts of plants in their yard. Chris has a whole herb garden in the backyard. She wants certain herbs and stuff for dishes she's cooking. She goes back there and break me off some of that. You got to understand, if you're going to have vision for what is tomorrow in your life, you got to focus on what God's Word says to see it. You got to focus on what the Word says. Amen. Peaches produce peaches. Corn produces corn. You have the ability within you to do and be whatever you want. The key that makes you successful in all the ventures of your life is the fact that you follow God first. And when you do that, I'm telling you for a fact, you'll find yourself happier, you'll find yourself more blessed, and all the days of your life are fulfilled because you are following after the Master. Because that's what's more important than anything else. Amen. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. What does it say? The Lord says for you and me, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you," says the Lord. "Thoughts and plans for your welfare, for your peace, and not for evil." I want to give you a hope in your final outcome. That's God's plan and purpose for each one of us. Folks, I'm telling you, predicting your future is real simple. And for each of us, every one of us, God's got a future for you. And it's vital that you commit your way to Him and that you follow His presence in your life and that you focus, truly focus on what His Word says about you and for you. You got to look at what the Bible says. I'm going to leave you this verse of Scripture and then next Sunday we'll come back and I'm going to hit these points on how you can have, how you can wear your shades all the time, okay? Amen. The Bible says here in Job, I love this verse. I've read it before. I love reading it in the Amplified Bible. I love reading it in other translations that are really kind of take you on a different way of looking at it when you're reading it. And the Message is one of them. I didn't put it on the screen. But Job chapter 22, verse 21, it says, "Acquaint now yourself with Him. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to His will and be at what? P. peace. Who are you supposed to be acquainting yourself with? God. Amen. Sometimes teenagers get caught up in artists. I'm talking about music artists. And Taylor Swift's one of those that a lot of young people get really caught up in and build their life around that person. Some people have a fascination with actors and actresses, and they build their life around people, around situations. They have more praise, more. They understand more about a person that's not leading them anywhere than they do the Word of God that can lead them to somewhere. They can tell you what kind of deodorant some artist wears, what kind of makeup they like, what kind of eyeshadow means the most to them, or lip gloss, but they couldn't tell you one dad blame thing about Jesus. They couldn't tell you one thing about who He is and what He actually can do for them, because they don't know Him. This Scripture's nailing it home for all of us, I think, because you can never know the Lord enough. Come on, that's good. Acquaint now yourself with Him. Are you acquainted with God? Or are you just like a passing, oh, hey, how are you? And you keep doing your thing. The Bible's talking about here, you need to acquaint yourself or become, if you would, in another translation, it talks about acquaint, become intimate with the Most High God. Acquaint, become intimate with Him. Agree with Him. Show yourself to be conformed to His will. And be at peace. You want real peace in your life? A lot of people struggle with peace. They get so fearful they can't even have peace. They'll shake all over and be a nervous wreck. Because they're so consumed with what they believe and think that's apart from the Word of God, that they let their fears drive their life. The Bible says you can be at peace when you know Him. And I love the last part here. It says, when you do all those things, by that you shall what? Be poor and at the low end of life? Is that what it says there? Come on, read it out loud to us. If you acquaint yourself with Him, by that, what? You shall, say it. You shall what? Prosper. And great what? Good. How many of you want to prosper and have great good in your life? Am I the only one? I want to prosper and have great good flowing into my life and my family's life. I want to leave a legacy for my boys and grandchildren one day. I want them to have a legacy they can look to. Amen. That's why I spent my own money and got a coffee cup made. Because I want you know, you drink coffee. When I'm gone, you're going to drink coffee. That dad's coffee cup. My God, Jesus. Woo. That's good coffee, too. My Lord, Jesus. Every time you put your sunglasses on that, you're going to be thinking, my God, my life is so cool. I just got to wear shades. Amen. Y'all heard one about the preacher? He had bald head. He's sweating all over. He couldn't find his glasses. He had put them up on top of his head, you know. And he's sweating so bad, he's at a Church of God Pentecostal convention thing. And he was sweating so bad preaching, I'm believing God's going to heal me one day. Glory to God. And he's running all over the stage. And all of a sudden, as he had his eyes closed and his hands lifted up, his glasses slid right down over his nose. And when he opened his eyes, he went, "Woo! I'm healed! Glory to God!" But all they did was slide down off his wet, bald head. Listen, if you will acquaint yourself with the Most High, you can see things that will blow your mind. Amen. He will bring so much into your life. He'll reveal things to you so that you can create things and make money and grow in things, expand your business. He'll give you marketing tactics. The Word of God is filled with marketing tactics. If you read the book of Proverbs, it'll tell you how to be a wealthy person. If you read the book of Proverbs over and over and over, he'll reveal things to you about investments that are way smarter than Joe Blow online. He will show you things to come according to the scripture. He'll reveal things to you. How will he do that? How will great good come to me? Because I have chosen to make my Almighty God my gold and the Lord my precious silver treasure. But then he gives you the other part of this that blows your mind. Verse 28, if I know him, if I'm fellowshipping with him, if I'm walking with him and talking with him all the time, praying in the Holy Ghost, seeking his face, I got his word before my eyes, I'm reaching in, digging for more, I'm reading the scripture not just once, but 100,000 times. And God showed me something new every time I read it. You know, if you're bored with the Bible, you need to change translations and start reading it more. Open your eyes. The Bible talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. They ain't going to get enlightened by you watching soap operas. It ain't going to be enlightened by listening to country music. It ain't going to be enlightened, you know, well, she got the gold mine and I got the shaft. It ain't going to be enlightened. Are you understanding me? If that's your focus, it ain't going to happen. You got to acquaint yourself with God, the Most High God. Amen. How many of you know there's no high like the Most High? Amen. Ain't enough dope in the world you can do to get you high. Because there's no high like the Most High. He'll show you things to come. If you show yourself to be conformed to His will, what's His will? This book, right here. If you will show yourself to be conformed to His will, and be it, that's where the peace comes from. Oh, the more I speak the word in my life, the more I realize the Lord is my shepherd, I never lack. He causes me to lie down in peaceful, green, lush, overflowing with blessing pastures. Oh, he increases me on the inside. The more I spend time with him, the more revelation I flow in. But when I make him my gold and I make him my precious silver treasure, whew, then verse 28 kicks in. When I know what his word says, I can decide and decree something and it'll be established. And the light of God's favor shines upon all my ways. How many of you believe that today? See, your future is brighter than anything you could ever imagine. It is so bright, not only do you need to wear shades, man, but you're probably going to need some special clothes to keep you from being scorched because you're so cool. Say, what are you saying, Pastor? Hey, when Moses came off the mountaintop after spending time with God, what did they have to do to him? They put a veil over him. Now, we live in different times. The anointing was upon him when he came down. You have the anointing within you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you. Are you developing that in your life, or are you just letting it be stagnant and only having one spiritual meal a week at church on a Sunday instead of starving yourself all week long? You can't do that. You got to take time and value His presence more than anything. You got to take the time and value who He is more than anything. Can you imagine God's heart when He came looking for Adam and Eve after they messed up? He knew where they were, but there was something spiritual that took place, and there was a separation. A lot of people in the body of Christ these days, they separate on purpose, and they don't realize it. Everything else is more important than the things of God. We have to get back to what flames our fire. We have to get back to what keeps us excited. I love the old song, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. You are the what? Potter, and I am the what? The clay." Folks, if you want to have the coolest future, the most awesome things to come in your life, so awesome, so cool that you just got to wear shades because it's so bright, then you need to come back next Sunday so I can give you those keys so you can predict your bright future, okay? Amen. All right. Amen. Did you learn something today? Amen. Amen. Stand up on your feet. It's good to come to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we let you go, come on, lift your hands, magnify the Lord with me. Lord, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, you're so good, so wonderful. Lord, your word tells us in all of our ways we should acknowledge you. You said in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 that you would direct our paths if we would acknowledge you in every aspect of our lives. Lord, even the book of Proverbs, we hear about creative ideas and witty inventions. Lord, you got things for us, plans, purposes, pursuits that are way beyond anything we could ever come up with or think. Because you love us so much. Lord, I just thank you right now. Our church, the people of this church, Lord, we're not stagnant in you, but we're on fire in you. We're hungry to know you. Lord, as Paul wrote, to know you and so intimately that we know the wonders and the power of your resurrection. Lord, I just thank you that each of us would take the time over these next few days till we get back together and share these points. Lord, that we would take the time to really acquaint ourselves with you. Acquaint ourselves with who you are, what you have for us. Lord, that we come to the truth and the knowledge that we do have a measure of faith, that it's up to us to develop it. It's up to us to let it grow. It's up to us to speak the word in our lives and see mountains move, see things change, because you're a good God and you love us. You gave us a future that is so bright and so exciting, Lord, that we can sit back and just shout glory and victory because we know you love us so much because of that future you made for each of us. Lord, we just thank you for that right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You know, some of you, maybe you've been dealing with stuff this week in the snow and dealing with job and work situations, you know, because of not being able to get to work. Let me tell you right now, God's going to turn all those things around. He's going to change it for you. You focus on Him. You focus on what He said that you have. He says you'd be blessed going in. He said you'd be blessed going out. You'll be blessed in everything that you set your hands to. Don't fret about things. Focus on Him. Because He's the good God. Amen. The devil's a bad devil. Our God's a good God. If you acquaint yourself with Him, you know Him, woo, He'll bring great good into your life. He'll bring blessings into your life. He'll bring prosperity into your life. Amen. You apply yourself and you watch Him apply things on your life. Amen. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for doors of opportunity to open up at different people's jobs, different situations. We thank you, Lord, your hand of blessing flows into their life. Lord, even in the midst of all this, Lord, increase comes. Increase comes in Jesus' name. Lord, you gave us the favor of God. Amen. Amen. We got one church member in here. They had, just encouraging you, this week alone, they had multiple clients come and sign up with them. Multiple clients. We're not talking about one or two. We're talking a bunch. Amen. Even in the midst of snow and everything being shut down, blessings come rolling in. Amen. Oh, it's all about serving the Lord. It's all about acknowledging Him. Amen. Acknowledging who He is and what you got because of Him. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you right now. Thank you for all these things. Thank you, Lord, our future is bright. So bright, we just got to put our shades on and just rejoice and laugh and give you glory and praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen. Hey, if you're watching today and you don't know the Lord, all you do is ask Him into your heart. The Bible says if you'll ask Him to forgive you, He'll forgive you of all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse you. And you ask Jesus into your heart, you'll be born again. Amen. So, if you do that today, I tell you, it'll change your destiny. He wants you to be born again. He wants you saved. All you got to do is ask Him into your heart. Amen. And that's